The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Doug Bell, who's the CMO of Chief Outsiders. Doug is a veteran CMO with a background in helping growth stage B2B SaaS companies reach their true potential, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the microphone and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. Okay, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders.
Hello, marketers. My name is Doug Bell from Chief Outsiders, and today we'll be talking about maximizing email marketing effectiveness. Joining me is Brian Minnick, the Chief Operating Officer at ZeroBounce, which is the go-to platform for email success, providing award-winning email validation, deliverability, and email finding services for more than 300,000 customers. And today, we're going to be talking about building healthy, engageable email lists. Okay, here's my conversation with Brian Minnick, the Chief Operating Officer at ZeroBounce. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
Big ZeroBounce fan. Love the approach you guys take. I want to dig in. I want to talk about some effective strategies for increasing email engagement and open rates. What would you recommend?
So the open rates, I think that's something that's maybe not the best metric anymore, but it still is a little bit of an indicator. For engagement rates, I am always thinking about how do we segment the right message to the right people at the right time? I think that's a very important piece. So depending upon your business, what you're doing, what you sell, what you offer, whatever it is, the reason that you're sending the actual email campaign, I do like to think about ways to break down the audience into different kind of buckets or segments, obviously is the right term here, but I like to think about buckets and where do they fit and how do I get the right message to that right person at the right time? I think that is so key, so overlooked and kind of looked at in the sometimes in a sense of this is too much work, but we have seen and time over time stats have proven the effectiveness of this, the higher ROI, the overall higher conversion rates, and overall satisfaction with the readers that they're getting more of the information that they actually thought they were going to get in the first place versus more generic. So it's more tailored towards what their either A, their behaviors, their purchase histories, their browsing history, whatever it is that you're kind of sending the emails on. I think that's really, really key is segmentation.
And I want to dig more into segmentation because I have to say, really what we're trying to understand is the efficacy of and the quality of the list that you're using. So how do I manage that list in a way that's going to increase engagement compared to, say, other lists that are poorly managed? But you said something really interesting, Brian. It was a little bit bare in your statement, which is open rates, they're not a great way to really judge performance anymore. I want you to talk to me a bit about this, and I'm going to sort of lead back to that with just a question on top of a question, which is that because of the bots? So open rates are no longer really a reflection of human activity?
I think open rates with Apple's privacy program that started to take place with mail and kind of all the changes that are happening, it's just not the indicator anymore. So there's things that are happening in front of that message that are affecting the open rate. And so to sit there and gawk over your high or low open rate, it's not the right indicator. I actually like to think backwards and I like to go towards what's my conversion rate? What is my goal of this whole campaign and work backwards? And then look for ways to increase that engagement rate on clicks or forwards or whatever it might be, redemptions of that promo that you sent.
So the trailing indicator here is conversion rates. The leading indicator you're recommending is very different. It's engagement. And I guess the question for you, Brian, is how do we measure engagement? And again, we're going to get back to this idea of building email lists, but the idea with sort of the end in mind here is you want an email list that's going to drive a lot of engagement. So how are you measuring that? What does that look like?
So we look at engagement as really any sort of action that's taking place, right? So an open is an action. I'm not disregarding it. I'm disregarding the simple metric of staring at that simple metric on a dashboard that says open, right? You obviously want opens. You need opens. But what I'm talking about here is engagement, because what it's doing is it's sending signals to the mail servers in feedback loops. This is a little bit more technical, but it's sending signals to those mail servers that your mail is wanted and desired by audiences, and therefore they start to increase your deliverability rate, your sender scores. So that's what we do a lot of like focusing on is, are you aware of your sender score, the importance of sender scores, all these type of things, because they affect ultimately the deliverability of your whole campaign. And so if you can get more people to open and click forward, whatever it might be, what you're doing is sending positive mail servers. You're sending positive signals to the mail servers that are sending, the delivering the content to your end users, that you're a good sender and they should inbox you. So a lot of people's messages are in spam and they just don't realize it. And that's the same thing. Behaviors on a negative side can impact that as well, such as them reporting you as spam. So if you're sending the content to them that they didn't really want because you're too lazy to do segmentation, or you're too lazy to think more about the message or what they actually signed up for, so you promised one thing but gave them another, and now they start reporting you as spam, that is sending very, very negative signals about you and will actually impact you and your deliverability, which is really the key. I mean, if you're in the spam folder, it's just a giant waste of time.
And you're not conscious that you're in the spam filter. Let's spend a few minutes on segmentation if we can, because I feel like what quite often happens for marketers is not necessarily the ability to, say, tag a segment within a Salesforce or a HubSpot object. That's not really the challenge, although the RevOps people right now are going, that's a big challenge. But it's the ability to understand and test audience-specific messaging. And sort of underlying all this is the ability to rationalize segments that are performative. So we can have really high data hygiene with contexts that are deeply enriched with lots of intelligence around that. But at the end of the day, if we're not segmenting, as you call them, buckets, right, Brian? If we're not putting in the right buckets and we're not, I don't want to say personalizing, but specializing for those folks, it doesn't matter the efficacy of your email list. It's really all going to fall apart. Is that the idea?
Yes, because again, you want them to do something with your message. That was the whole point, right? If you can't answer what you want someone to do with this email, you shouldn't send it. What are they supposed to do with it? And again, if that answer is not clear to you, it's not going to ultimately perform well for you. But yes, you want these positive signals. That's really, really, really important, and something I want to kind of stress to the audience that might not be really thinking about that stuff is these signals are very important. And removing some of the bad and older data or just non-engagers, that's important as well because it's a percentage game. So if you can increase your engagement rate, which is these opens, clicks, forwards, et cetera, one way to effectively do that is to remove the people that never engage. So if you've sent emails for 3 years to John and John's never opened an email you've ever sent to him, again, I'll ask you the question, why are you still sending an email to John? He's actually pulling you down as far as those kind of brownie points that I'm mentioning here, these positive signals that are, the mail servers are looking for. So that's another way to even segment is break out people who have no longer engaged with you. So people have said to me, oh, it's so hard to segment. I need my tech team involved. We have to pass data. No. It doesn't have to be this complicated. It doesn't have to be this overthought. It can be based on data you have. It can be based on external data sources that are available for people to get insight to. But you got to take smart actions and you have to put messages again in front of people at the right time.
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on 2 channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's MUTINEX.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co.
This is reminding me of a lot of advice you hear on the SEO front, and let's tie together these two concepts as quickly as we can. But what's happening, especially with the recent EAT update, is Google was saying, look, quality of content's even more important than it's ever been. But what they're also saying at the same time is, you got a lot of crud on your website. There's a lot of junk out there, so less is more. And so you're seeing a lot of these 100,000 URL sites being shrunk down as they're deprecating content that, you know, at the end of the day, could just be a no index for Google. But I feel like the same advice I'm hearing from you, Brian, which is the efficacy of your email may depend on how well you're maintaining that email list. And I want to get to something very specifically here, if we can. You talked about deletion, and that's a really simple rubric, right? If you're not getting engagement from a particular prospect in your database, move them out. The question I have for you is, how clear are the algorithms that are sort of out there judging whether or not that email list and or that content is highly engaged? In other words, how do we understand that algorithm in terms of making sure that we're pruning that list or enriching that list in a way that's going to be viewed favorably by the algorithms judging that list?
I have never actually thought this is as complicated as like an SEO algorithm. That has many layers, facts, et cetera. But the other stuff is based on action. It's actually very clear to me. So if you send an email and people don't open it, the question should be asked why, right? Why aren't they? Either A, that email account's been abandoned. Maybe they just gave it to you. They typoed something and just submitted it to you. And we have lots of ways to detect that stuff. You want to get that stuff out of your list. But that's really kind of the concept is, I think it's actually much more simple for email than people can make it out to be. It's a very fact-based ecosystem. It's transactional. I sent you an email. You either opened it, you deleted it, you reported it as spam, you unsubscribed, you clicked, you opened it five times, you clicked four times. These are facts. They're not really subjective, maybe other than the open rate, right? So to me, you want to build on the things that we know are working and the things that we know increase your likelihood to be kind of prioritized in an inbox and viewed by your viewers at the right time. So those are the signals that we really focus on, because ultimately you're the only one in control of your content, period. You can put them through these filters and you can do whatever you want, but it's up to you to put the right message to those people. But there's a ton of other variables that is not necessarily completely up to you. People can help you and they can influence you on those decisions. And those are the ones that for me really touch home. They're a little bit more techie. I'm a big tech guy. So I'm not in the content. I'm not into the subject lines. I'm not that creative. But for me, I can actually break this down to very simple facts and their objectives. How many people clicked? How many people did this? Again, Google will see that and start to look at their algorithms and consider you a good sender. If everyone's opening your email, maybe something topical, the IRS refund notices. If everyone is opening that email, let me tell you, that's not going to spam. It's clear that this is a message people wanted. And obviously you just filed your tax return, boom, your return's being issued or whatever it might be. Versus anything else that is, what is this? Mark is spam. You're saying, no, I don't want this. The mailboxes are getting smart. They're using feedback. That is the whole thing they're doing. They're using the feedback of their end users to determine what else should happen. And we have seen that very large mail servers and mail providers will take that feedback and actually make real-time adjustments. So they can pull an email out of the inbox and move it to spam if a lot of people have indicated from that campaign that this is spam based on your sending reputation. So you have to have an idea what's going on the technical side, right? So like your driver's license. Yeah, we all have the picture, but how many points do you have? How many tickets have you had? Or how many nice kinds of acts of services, if they ever put that on your driver's license? If I can kind of give you some sort of idea there, that's what I mean. That's what I think is the key that people are not thinking about. They're always just thinking about send as much as possible, dollar signs from each, the cash register ticket clinking every time they hit send. Yes, but you can optimize this.
You're right, by the way. It's a much more difficult formula to understand. It's constantly evolving. This is on the SEO side. But it feels like beginning to get to equivalency on some level, not in terms of the complexity, the black box nature of the algorithm, but you're mentioning content quality as being as important as anything else when it comes to, now, I'm not trying to say it's equivalent to some of the better practices we're going to talk about on tomorrow's episode, but it does feel like sort of the throwaway stuff we would have allowed in the past, we wouldn't. As an example, let the new SDR just write a campaign. You know what? It'll be cute. I'm being up a little bit, trying to be funny here, but to the degree you're sending out things that a algorithm would consider to be spam because it's irrelevant, people aren't clicking on it, you really need to think about the efficacy of your content and your messaging, which takes us all the way back, Brian, to segmentation. So a big part of Zero Bounce's value prop is really the ability to sort of understand that data layer, but also understand the efficacy of the content, and then the ability to sort of layer that on top and test. In other words, there is no such thing as a static email campaign. You're constantly trying to optimize those campaigns so your list is more efficacious, and then you're recognizing content and how it's performing. So is that really the answer here, sort of combining these concepts together?
So I'm a big believer of there's no one magic bullet. There's a lot of little things that when all combined make a big difference. And so, yes, it goes all the way from how you collected the data, or using double opt-ins, or you farming data, or you buying data. This is, again, going to start to point you right in the direction of where your whole campaign and the outcomes are going to go. If you're buying data, I wouldn't have high hopes as to what's going to happen here. I would never recommend it. But we see it all the time. And there's, by the way, this is not just for people buying data or whatever it might be. We experienced, and we ran a huge report on email, 22% of data is churning every year. It's higher in B2B data. So if anyone has B2B lists, I would actually expect to see that closer into the high 30s. Especially with what happened through the pandemic and the great resignations, all of that, B2B data is churning like crazy. So people, it's not something they're doing wrong. It's just also a matter of checking all these boxes. Is my email list clean? Do I have all the people out that are no longer even, it's going to bounce. It's going to hard bounce. You should remove those before. Is my messaging right? Is the follow through on the landing page where I'm going to, is that correct? Are people going to bounce off that page? All of this really matters. Am I really encouraging a click here, or am I sending a message? I challenge people on that all the time. If you're just trying to send a message, you have to take it one step further. You want that click. That click is actually very important. That click also can be an unsubscribe, by the way, something I really like to preach. Everyone's so worried about my subscriber counts. You're focused on the wrong thing. I hate to say it because it breaks hearts. You're focused on quantity and you should be focused on quality. And quality is around the entire spectrum here. So from the list to the content, to the subject line, to the offer, to the end result, all of that really is the quality that's going to make things different for you. It's not the quantity. And your BDR or sales rep example is the absolute easiest one to target. Because if anyone's ever done it, you know, the first week, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is the secret bullet. This is the magic sauce. And then 2 weeks later, everything flatlines. And that's because the mail servers have picked up on you and they're now throwing everything you have in spam. So that's what I mean. You might get that first shot through the door, but eventually the stuff's going to catch up to you. So you got to have the best practices in place. Focus on quality.
I was going to ask, Brian, what's some of the dumbest things you're seeing marketers do out there? And I think that was really the answer to the question I didn't ask, right? What's some of the smartest stuff you're seeing email marketers doing these days?
Some of the smartest stuff I'm seeing, and I just actually was speaking to somebody, really, really large company with a very large email marketing division, 12 people in email marketing. For me, that was massive. Just 12 people that work on email marketing. Some of the things they're doing is, I mean, they were planned out 4 months in advance. They had everything planned out. They had all the content. They had all of these tools at their disposal to test things and A/B testing, which again, I think is also very critical. You have to understand what might happen before you go send the whole thing out. But some of the smartest things I see is when people really, really, I see it as they're focusing on quality and not quantity. But they are removing the people that haven't opened in 3 months and they're putting them into something else that's totally different. Like, is there something we did wrong? Is this actually the content you even wanted? Can you just click here to confirm? Or otherwise, I'm going to move you off the list, right? I mean, they're doing things that are clever. And what you'll actually see, and we've seen this also, people will send like this breakup campaign, but these guys were doing it really clever. They're like, hey, we're going to remove you off the list because we're green. We're a green company. And there's resources, there's power, and there's energy being put into these emails. And if you don't want them, that's perfectly okay. But we're going to remove you if you don't click here to confirm that you still want to be on our list. And it just, it engages people and people start to really think about it. So to me, like, those were just the wow ones where I was like, huh, these people are really thinking about it to a deeper level and really, again, just encouraging engagement. That's really, really important.
Here's what I'm hearing. Curating your email list based on engagement. We gave the example, like if they're not responding, it's a separate treatment. I love that advice, right? And especially because the algorithms have become more and more present in terms of determining whether or not people are seeing your content. Love that. The other thing I'm hearing is build testing into your plan out of the gate. And my sense is that it probably is not happening for folks. In other words, they're not thinking about building testing. And if you build it in, then ultimately you're getting back to, you know, your first challenge, which is how do I actually curate a list well? In other words, I'm driving for better and better content, but I'm also sort of testing to the point that I'm recognizing folks that shouldn't be on the list, if you will. So those sound like two really good practice recommendations. And on the flip side, it is, I'm hearing lack of segmentation, really a lack of paying attention to the right metrics. In other words, don't worry about sort of traditional leading indicators like open rates. Look at engagement.
For sure. And I've seen a lot of people that say, oh, how do I do this? How do I optimize? That's a very valid question. How do I optimize my engagement? Like, I hear you, Brian. I hear you. But how do I do it? So there's lots of ways to kind of do it. And some of the ways that we've been able to help customers who've come to us with this question is we have like known data signals on some of these emails because we're a centralized system, if you think about it. So we see all these different things that are happening. We can tell who's more likely to open, who's more likely to kind of click and forward in the emails. So we can kind of append that data to your data set, to your existing data set. And now you talk about another layer of segmentation. So what we call it activity data here. But if you take a good email list that has known activity from a source like ours and send that segment to somebody, you start talking about 60% click-through rates. You start talking about 65, 70% click-through rates. These things can happen. The mail servers are just like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? What's he doing? Why is everything so great? And then you work through the lower parts of your list to the unknown areas where they might not have as much engagement. So your back half of the campaign performance can be influenced, or the unknown area can be influenced by a segment that you sent earlier in a different time. Maybe it's the same message, but it's different people. So that's kind of another way that I really recommend. If you have no idea, you have no segmentation. You're selling clothes, but you don't know if they're men or women, and you sell both, and you're sending men and women clothes on every single email. You have to take this to another step. You have to understand your audience. It's very, very, very important.
And it's an imperative, because if you're not aligning your content to your audience, if you're not thinking about your audience in terms of segmentation, you're going to end up in some sort of penalty box, and your open rates, click-through rates, and engagement are going to go down over time. And any parting thoughts in terms of guarding against those practices? Or is it just about being very conscious in the planning process to make sure that you've got engagement built into how you're thinking about things and then building testing into the plan?
No, I think you nailed it. The things that to me stand out the most is I see a lot of people who just want to try to outsmart the system. I don't think this is actually that smart of a system to try to outsmart. And so I don't recommend people try to get super cute and overly clever with an approach. Just put more time into it. Think about it a little bit more. Think it all the way through. I highly, highly recommend it. I think you'll see some better outcomes. And actually, we've been able to prove that if you just go ahead and take some more time and remove your business hat off. Take your business hat off when you send emails and put your reader hat on. It's a totally different perspective. And I think that perspective is very important and often lost, because we have 12 people on this team, right? In that scenario of people who are really focused on like, how do I get more sales? How do I get more whatever? More signups to my show that's coming, whatever it is. Think of it the other way. Why do I want to be at that show? What is all the fun things that we're going to do at that show? Stop pushing that's going to be the biggest show you've ever been to. It's got to be a different thought process. You got to put their hat in mind.
Great advice. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Brian.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to Brian Minnick, Chief Operating Officer at Zero Bounce, for joining us today. In part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow, Brian and I are going to be talking about increasing sales with powerful email marketing. If you can't wait until our next episode and want to learn more about Brian, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can visit his company website at zerobounce.net.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders. If you'd like to get in touch with Doug, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Market Advocate. Or you could just visit his website, which is chiefoutsiders.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MarTechPod, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is BenJShap. BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.